Blog Talk Radio.
Archangels, ghosts, and Bigfoot. Oh my! It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Psychic medium Helene Olson and paranormal researcher Patricia Baker. Here are Supernatural Girls.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Supernatural Girls. I am your host, Patricia Baker, and I am here with the incredibly talented Helene Olson. Helene, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you, Patricia. It finally heated up around here, so we're happy.
Yes, we're feeling the heat, and we're also feeling the thunderstorms tonight. They've really ramped up in the sky, so just in case I get kicked off the air, you just pick it up and keep moving, okay?
Sure, sure. Yeah, you're pretty far from me, so we don't have that going on yet. So.
That's good. That's good. Mm. One at a time is all we can handle right now. So, yes, I know it. I know it. Well, we are so honored tonight because we have got an incredible guest, Venerable Dahani Yawahu. She is an international spiritual teacher, author, and spiritual catalyst for peace. And gosh, I'm not going to tell you how many years ago I first met Dahani. I'm not going to date myself, but it was like a million years ago. But anyways, Venerable Dahani is an incredible teacher, and I value to this day all of the teachings, all of the things that I learned from Venerable Dahani. And tonight we're so lucky and honored to have her on the show. I can't wait to get her on and hear more wisdom.
This is going to be truly fascinating. I'm so honored that she came on the show, and probably because of your connection and relationship with her, Patricia. But it's so, I don't know, I just get so involved in hearing from spiritual teachers who are as really as thoughtful and as connected as she is, you know.
Yeah, we are really happy to have her on the air with us very shortly. We'll be introducing Venerable Dahani, and we also have Patricia Kirkman with us tonight.
Yes.
And Patricia is going to be revealing everything she knows about the superstar Tatiana Maslany by the numbers. Now, Tatiana is an incredibly talented actor who is the star of the new hit show, Orphan Black. It's so creatively written, and Tatiana is just a genius at playing all of these different roles. She plays a clone of herself, and there's all these different clones, and they all have different personalities and different looks, and she is amazing. She has really caught the attention of the audience, and of course, science gone awry, which is a big topic in our contemporary world.
Mm-hmm.
So, Patricia, what do you have to say about Tatiana? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, and I will tell you, this lady is so extraordinary. Did you know that she was nominated for over 12 awards, and she won 11 of them?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
This has been since 2011, and she is going, you just wait, watch, don't forget that name, because she is rising like we haven't seen. She's going to really have some major things to show us. She's a hard worker, no question about that, but she has a 27-9 destiny number, which
Ooh.
Tells me she's here for the world at large. She's here on behalf of everybody else, and she has the ability to show, be seen, and accelerate in anything that she puts her mind out to. She's a team player always, and that's the neat part about her. Right now she's in a two personal year, which is about her sensitive side. But come October, she's going to start going into her 3-year, which is all about her creative side. Can you imagine she hasn't hit the creative yet?
I cannot. Mm-hmm. Having seen every single episode mm-hmm. of the series, she's mind-boggling in how she embodies each and every character every week. I mean, I don't know how she does it.
You're going to see some phenomenal acting after October, even more so than now, because she's going to be very, very creative, and she already is. So can you imagine when you add to that? And then on top of that, she's going to be in a bridge period that deals with a lot of changes going on for her. But the year she's going into and the period that she's dealing with all have a luck factor to it. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my goodness.
So
I don't know how things can get any better for her, but I'm so glad that they are because she's so deserving of all of this.
Well, her chart is all about being creative and all the things she can do. But her ego deals with the seven. She is a spiritual being to the nth degree. That's why she can morph into all these other people.
Oh, my.
She seems very young to me. Do you know her age? She seems very young to me. Do you know her age?
She was born in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
So
she's older than I thought, really.
Yeah, well, she definitely does look very young.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking in the past of some of the people we have spoken of, and she, again, is extremely intuitive. And it's amazing how those that have this strong affinity for intuitiveness and the abilities to work on the areas that they are all have the same ability to morph into more and look mm-hmm. into more than the average person ever does. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to watch her as she proceeds. And she's been nominated for an award, of course, for the Golden Globe Award for Orphan Black. Mm-hmm. So
I hope she gets it.
Oh, she is something else. And she's also participated in the improv games. And that was in 2006, it was a TV movie that was on. But she's just gotten her feet wet. She has not even jumped into who she's really going to be.
Gosh, that's amazing. Well, it's a thrill to watch her, and I'm sad to say that second season of Orphan Black has wrapped up, and so now we're just sitting here waiting for the next season to start. And I guess it's not going to be for a while, but in the meantime, people who are interested can certainly watch this superstar, Tatiana Maslany, on Netflix or any of the other streaming video shows that are available for season 1 and 2. But she is extraordinary, and there it is, writing the numbers, backing all this up.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing talent.
Most definitely. She's going to be someone that we're going to see grow in the future even more than anyone could imagine at this point in time.
Gosh, well, she is a superstar. You can see it. That's
mm-hmm.
great. Well, thank
Everything
you,
in her chart is about creativity. So
oh,
good
gosh.
For her
well,
and good for us to have her available.
That's mm-hmm. right. We're glad she's sharing the planet with us. That's great. And, you know, while you're on with us, Patricia, one of the things that Helene and I wanted to talk about is the prayer circle that we're offering also, which is tomorrow night at 7:30 on Blog Talk. And as you know, Patricia, we've been offering prayers and holding energy circles for Becky Andreasen and everyone who comes to listen to the meditation and share in the universal energy that we are working with to help everybody heal, get centered, and also to heal the loved ones of the people who come to listen to the show. So I know you always join us, Patricia, so we
Definitely.
Just wanted to mention it again.
You're such guiding lights. We're all so pleased to have you.
Oh, thank you, Patricia. That's
thank sweet. You.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's lovely. Well, we're happy to do it. We know that it's helping a lot of people. It's not just helping Becky Andreasen, who is our sister in light, and she is facing a serious health challenge right now, but it's also helping a lot of people. We've gotten tremendous feedback
mm-hmm.
from people that have attended and listened, and everybody's been very happy.
The best way, I just want to mention that the best way to come to the circle is to be full of heart intent on what you're focusing on, whether that's alignment, clearing for yourself, or also clearing health, vitality, whatever it is for people that you love, that you know. There's plenty of energy for everyone to go around.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. So people who participate with full intent do feel the effect of the energy that comes through the angelic realm for them. Yeah.
Yes, thanks for sharing that, Helene. And it is free. There's obviously no charge to it. This is something that we just offer, and we hope you will join us tomorrow night and spread the word to anybody else who you feel might need that type of healing energy. So we love to watch the numbers grow and everybody benefiting from this together.
Most definitely. You ladies are a jewel for the rest of us.
Oh, well, thanks. Thank you again, Patricia, for looking into our Celebrity of the Week, Tatiana Maslany. And we've got another one next week from Orphan Black. So we will be sharing that with all of our audience next week. So, Patricia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and have
thank
a
you,
lovely
Patricia.
Evening, ladies.
Thanks.
Bye.
So, Helene.
I love her updates.
I know. Aren't they good?
She's so concise, you know, and very careful with these actors and actresses that really have so much going for them. It's nice
really
to get a
do.
Little peek inside their soul, isn't it?
It is. It's
yeah.
nice to hear more also about how connected they are spiritually. As she has said this about just about every paranormal television star that we have discussed, that they all have a big spiritual connection. They're intuitive. You know, it's really nice to hear that. It really is.
And look what they're doing.
Yes.
They're doing a paranormal type show, you know, and it's just fascinating. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and it's nice that she's able to share her time with us. I know how busy she is. She's world-renowned for her numerology. So, again, thank you, Patricia Kirkman. And anybody who wants a reading with Patricia Kirkman can find her on her website, which is patriciakirkman.com. So now we are going to bring on our very special guest, Venerable Dahani Yawahu. Dahani, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. I trust that our time, our talk together, will remind each of us present and those beyond the horizon that we each have direct access to the seed of wisdom within, and that we are part of a field of wisdom information. And may it be made manifest as ever more joy and skillful activity in all of our lives.
What a beautiful prayer to start with. Thank you.
Beautiful.
You're welcome.
So, Venerable Dahani, it's been a long time since I've spoken with you, and I've watched the progress of Sunray. And again, I want to announce that if people would like to learn more about Sunray, they can go to sunray.org. And you also have workshops and things listed there. You have an elders gathering that takes place every year up there and in Vermont. And it's wonderful, the work that you're doing to promote peace and understanding in the world. It's great. Congratulations. You've taken this so far.
Well, thank you. It's an incredible team of people. As you know, the teachings come first from an old family lineage. They come from the heart of Cherokee teachings, the heart of the sacred fire. And the mission was to invite people of like mind to see that we are all one in the human family, and that together our thought, word, and action is contributing to what we experience. So why not plant seeds of good relationship? And so it's a volunteer organization which has continued for, oh my gosh, since 1969. And I'm very appreciative to all of the people who keep it moving along, and especially to those who have studied and practiced with us and who've applied these teachings in the world towards peacemaking.
We definitely need that today. It seems that the world is in more turmoil than ever. I don't know if that's the reality, but it certainly feels that way. So we need that counterbalance of the peace villages that you've set up around the world. It's so important.
And what we see now is coming to the surface, the hidden confusion, so that we may see its resolution into ever more skillful activity. So it appears dissonant, yet we know that within dissonance there is also the arising harmony that will bring us into another key of deeper understanding. And that's where I choose to put my attention, that we're growing ever more wise and skillful.
That's a good place to put it. I know years ago when I was in some of your classes, we did discuss how to tell the difference between a thought or a feeling that comes from within yourself as opposed to one that comes from outside that is more discordant. And as I recall, you shared that it's when it comes from within you, it's like a wave. When it comes from outside of you, it comes in kind of like as a jagged energy. Is that the best way to describe it?
Yes, that is a good way to describe it. The natural wisdom that arises from our heart's direct experience is like a wave arising. And when you sense thought forms that are being conveyed in the atmosphere of the electronic field, it can be perceived as static or rough energy coming towards you.
See, that stuck with me, that piece of wisdom you shared, because it really helped a lot, and that's why I wanted to bring that up. And especially today, when all of us are experiencing so much media coming at us, we have instant communications because of the Internet, and it is sometimes very difficult to tell what's what. So I always remembered what you said about that, and it has been just a wonderful help.
Well, thank you for taking care of that medicine and actualizing it.
Well, it's my honor to do so, I'll tell you, and it's been personally very helpful. So with everything out there today, people are really looking for answers and how to stay centered, how to get connected with the spirit within them. And again, years ago, I mean, you were so far ahead of everybody else. You were teaching leading-edge things, again, ancient teachings, but still, for the time, back in the late 60s and 70s, you were teaching us all about crystals, and you taught us beautiful chanting that was very powerful, and also about dream analysis. You taught us about that. There were just so many wonderful teachings that I came away with from being at Sunray and working with you. So are you still teaching those things?
Yes, in many different forms. Much of the time is devoted to exploring one's own consciousness. Through the Peacekeeper training, people analyze the source of life, the gifts they've received, and also make peace with what has appeared as uncomfortable, what was experienced as dissonant. And that training, it comes more from my family's teaching. And also we've added some of the scientific analysis about matter and forms arising, particularly how electrons can share the same information. So electrons split through a slit, one becoming two, still contains the same information and will know what the other is experiencing. And I find that is a very powerful analogy. You can think of parenting. You can sense when your children need you or when a friend needs you. And so it seems that the scientists are catching up with a direct experience of the open heart.
Yes, it does seem that way. There's certainly a large interest. I mean, Helene, you and I have seen this with our audience that keeps growing every week, that people are really coming to terms with all of these subjects in a completely different way, much more open-minded, much more willing to experience things differently.
Well, it's interesting that even the science programs about space and different things bring in theology and bring in spirituality as part of the subject. And I found that an interesting twist recently in the last few years. And so I think eventually there will be a melding together of all philosophies that will benefit humanity all around.
Yes, ultimately we will all trace our roots to that one tree of peace, the tree
mm-hmm.
of life.
Mm-hmm.
And what is fascinating with the quantum theory is the concept of entanglement and how it becomes an analogy of how our minds and thoughts are connected, and also is concurrent with Buddhist view of forms arising from empty space. And so the world we see is a projection of
mm-hmm.
our minds.
So we really need to take responsibility for what we're thinking and the beliefs we hold on to, because we keep basically making the world the way it is from that place.
It's true. From the place of confusion, we can perpetuate a limited view. And the ultimate truth is within each person's heart, whatever is our spiritual path, there is ultimately that direct connection through the heart. And so the quiet chamber, the empty space within the heart, reveals the dance of all appearances arising. And so to look outside gives us hints and also can offer us roadmaps. And ultimately, it is how each of us transforms our own view and our speech and action and make a commitment to awakening and ceasing the causes of confusion in our own lives, beginning with our thought and our speech and our action.
And that's a tall order, because I think a lot of people have trouble understanding that they're generating this themselves. And yet, again, if you can, as you taught so many years ago to the groups that I attended, you can be quiet within yourself, which is no small order for, I think, people in this country. You can have these enlightenments, have these aha moments where you understand deeply, even without words, how your thinking is contributing to this, and you can make a change. But what about, now I have a question, Venerable Tahani, from the chat room about crystals, because there are a lot of people in our audience who do work with crystals, and they wanted to know if you could impart some information to them about how to work with them effectively.
Well, certainly it is clear that crystals will hold particular vibrations, and thus they're the basis of computer or telecommunications. So the crystal will hold particular thought forms or prayerful intention to accomplish compassionate activity. And also, like a cosmic radio, the crystal informs us of the information that is continuously flowing through our own hearts, even within the light that moves through our DNA and our mitochondria. The crystal makes more energetic that communication, or contributes to more clear communication. So when one wishes to work with a crystal, consider it as a conscious energy being, and to introduce yourself and to hear what the crystal says about its formation, and to, with a prayerful intent, let my body mind be clear. May the appearance of confusion become transparent, so that the wisdom that is hidden within each situation may be revealed.
Well, that's another powerful prayer. And again, it's so respectful, because from what I gather from what you're saying, that you are relating to the crystal as its own entity, and you're basically asking for a relationship with it and respecting what the crystal is and what it's telling you. So there's a whole relationship involved here, not I'm just going to pick up this crystal and use it.
Yes, because each electron, each atom, each subatomic particle conveys information and is part of an intelligent field. Not that the crystal is to be worshipped. The crystal is a mirror to reveal this ongoing communication with the sublime.
Mm. Now, there are some crystals that have, oh gosh, what are they called? They're like little ghosts in them. Some of them seem to be more talkative than others. And I know that there are so many different variations of crystals. But are there any that you recommend that people use? This is another question from the chat room. Any particular crystals? The phantom, thank you. From the
yes,
chat room.
The phantom.
Phantom crystals.
Indeed, for many Cherokee, the phantom crystal with a blue-green phantom inside is a reminder of an open gate, an open pathway to understanding the telluric currents and the currents of the sky and even the stars. So each chevron within a phantom crystal, in a sense, squares the power of that crystal. So while it may be small, its range of activity can be quite large. So per pound, a crystal energy field can be perceived by the eyes and perhaps some instrumentation. For each pound, you have about 18 square feet of luminosity. And when
really?
Wow. Yeah, and when there are chevrons in the crystal, that's increased exponentially.
Oh, wow.
So it is... Uh-huh.
So these phantoms really do create this gateway even more powerfully than the other crystals.
Yes, you can say it is like a wider spectrum becoming more available and apparent to the practitioner. And also the crystals reveal our own transparency as thought forms and adhesions of shame, pain, blame, as they dissolve, our own transparency becomes more apparent.
That's fascinating. Now, Helene, you've had some experiences with crystals that have talked to you at length. Correct?
Yes, I wanted to ask you a question, Venerable Dahani. You know, some of the crystal skulls, whether they're ancient or modern, doesn't really matter to me, but some of them seem to be more like telephones or transmitters than actually exactly what you're talking about. Have you experienced that at all?
I've only seen one crystal skull that was in the care of old Cherokee chief.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like a radio connecting through time, revealing ages of creation, dissolution, and creation again, and also like a library.
Yes, very much like a library, and a question here has to do with record keeper crystals, which are also similar to a library in a very different way. Because you're right, I agree with you, the crystal skulls, some of them seem to be actual, they're record keepers, but they're very cosmic, and they have a lot of information to disseminate, And so they're willing to talk, if you want to put it that way, you know. And it's just, I've had some really amazing experiences with them. And so I hear what you're saying, yeah. Mm. Now, do you know anything about record keepers or...
Yes.
Non-Eider crystals?
What we call record-keeping crystals have an additional face, which is a rectangle. And it can be to the left or the right, which would determine the way in which the energy is turning within the crystal.
Oh.
And many people have found that they are able to access the pathways of their many lifetimes. So for some, the lifetimes appear in a linear fashion, as there was yesterday and tomorrow, and for others, the record keepers reveal that the past, present, and future are occurring in this moment. And so what we may call our past lifetimes is also occurring in this moment, and what we may think of as the future is also arising in this moment. So when one begins to work with the record keeper, perhaps with a view of dualism, there is the sense of an eye exploring, wearing many robes, many different lifetimes, and conversations with the trees. Then, over time, the concept of I dissolves into a state of awareness where all appearances are seen like dreams or bubbles arising.
So you're saying that it's all occurring right now in this moment through different layers and places.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the energies of emotion are fully integrated, they reveal the wisdom of the moment. So suppose someone is holding resentment about some occurrence in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that will keep one vibrating between now and the concept of past, and in a sense, until there is pacifying and forgiveness and setting clear path, one will repeat the same activity.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so then it kind of binds you into a loop that you can't get out of until you're,
Yes.
you're willing to let go of it or heal it in some way.
Yes.
Huh.
I
so
find
it can really
that sometimes
hold it back.
People, I find sometimes, Venerable Dahani, that people just having the awareness of the pattern allows them to open the wisdom of their heart.
Indeed.
Some people don't really have the awareness yet. But once they gain the awareness, that's sort of enough to help them shift. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yes. It is important to forgive in this moment, and also ourselves and others, and to make a commitment that with our own thought and speech, we will cause no harm. So, because the harm is like a magnetic attractor, and certainly in growing up, people are taught to compare themselves to one another, and not fully recognize the gifts that are within.
Yeah, so that comparison can really breed a lot of resentment and also a feeling of lack. So then comes the competition and many things from there. So, yeah, there's a lot that can happen just from the way that we're raised. Mm-hmm. Not pleasant.
And in a flash, we can remember the truth.
I like that. I like that. That can happen in a flash. It's not something we need to carry around forever.
Yes.
That's wonderful. And, you know, Venerable Dahani, that Helene and I, in doing this show, you know, our tagline is where the paranormal is normal. So to our audience and to us personally, talking about crystals and the ability to let go of these things, as you mentioned, in a flash, which I love that, it's so important to see it all as a part of the whole. So whether in our radio show, whether we're talking about ETs or Bigfoot or ghosts or the angelic realm, for us, it's all part of the whole, and we're giving everybody an opportunity to explore and to see things that way. And we feel it's helpful because it continues to let people expand their minds, to take in more than what's just right in front of them.
Yes. And so when I went to your website and looked at some of the shows and listened in part to two of them, I thought, well, what can I share that relates to their path of exploration and revelation for the listener? And so a thought that came to mind was remembering the magic radio in an old Plymouth Valiant car. This, you know, being a young mother and taking kids here and there, the radio would turn on itself and it would give news of the future.
Wow.
Yeah.
And everyone could hear that or just you?
Well, my kids could hear it too.
Mm-hmm.
And so one instance that caught my attention and taught me a very big lesson. This was in the 60s. It was, I guess, about 1965. And the radio talked about Kent State and demonstrations and shooting and students falling to the ground.
Mm.
And I was taken aback. And something in my heart arose about complementary resolution. Let the appearance of different views resolve into cooperation. So it was very profound.
Mm.
And then another instant occurring in that car, I finally left it in a parking lot because the car was really overwhelming with its messages. There would appear an old woman, and then she would become, she would go through every race. She would first appear like an old Indian woman, an African woman, a European woman. Then she'd become a man going through the races and then become younger and younger and then poof and be gone. And I've heard of other people having that mysterious rider appear in Canada along the Queen's Highway. Some native elders have experienced meeting a person like that.
Oh, my goodness.
And so what does that person's change reveal? That ultimately we're all one. We're in the human family, which is part of something vast and profound.
And it's all the same DNA, so we are all connected.
Yes. And when we speak of DNA, it becomes more apparent, particularly through studies that have been done in Russia and Germany, that our DNA responds, and the patterning of DNA is like grammar of language, which then gives further reason to take care with our speech, you know, the self-talk, how we think of ourselves and others, has an impact on our own body-mind. So better to cultivate the speech that invites our wisdom to be expressed.
Yeah, because the impact is really there. I mean, that is something that we need to acknowledge. It's real, the impact of those words.
Yes.
I'm still fascinated by the radio story. What I'm getting is that it was you that opened the radio for this transmission, Venerable Dahani.
Maybe. Certainly. The universe wanted me to understand
yes.
that the future is occurring in the moment, and
mm-hmm.
How we respond in the moment contributes to what can arise.
Mm-hmm.
What
has that ever happened to you before with electronics, or since then, I should say?
Yeah, I sometimes, even now, especially
mm-hmm.
if I'm taking a long bath, I have a sense of people's thoughts and their voices.
Mm-hmm.
There are many Native American stories among the Diné, among Aniyumiwa, Cherokee, and others that speak of tunnels, communication tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
So you can stand in certain places and whisper into the ear of your loved one who is very far away.
Hmm.
And so these vortices of communication,
mm-hmm.
They exist in many places, and people are able to send messages back and forth. And it is like a spiraling tunnel, which I can now see a similarity to a wormhole.
Well, you know, Dahani, when you talk about the future also, I remember years ago in one of the classes I took with you that you spoke about how people, and this is, again, so many years ago, Venerable Dahani, oh my goodness, but you spoke about how people were being irresponsible with their sexuality. And you said it would be the last weapon turned on the human race, our own sexuality. And it was probably maybe 8 to 10 years later that the first case of AIDS was diagnosed. And I was just, again, I remembered your words when you did say this was going to happen because we were not being responsible to our sexuality. It's a sacred energy, and we weren't using it that way.
Yes, I actually learned that from some Hopi elders. One was a Snake Clan priest, and the other was Grandfather David. And they spoke about how the Holy Mother energy, the energy of wisdom, would become a commodity as a way of hypnotizing people and separating them from the direct meaning of wisdom, of mother, of father, of family.
Mm.
And so when they spoke of mother and father, it was not just about the genders that give birth, or it wasn't about gender. It was about deep energy, the energy of creation, the
mm-hmm.
dynamic dance of mother and father, night and day. And another way it was explained to me was the connection of the lightning gridwork in the sky and the energy currents within the earth and our own energy pathways, which we refer to very often as acupuncture pathways or meridians.
Mm.
And so by attention being placed in just seeking pleasure without recognizing the gift of union, that it would create a disturbance in the mental field.
Mm. And it did. That's certainly a lot of what happened. That was a remarkable thought that you shared so many years ago, and unfortunately it did come to fruition on that particular place, but and in that topic. So, oh my goodness, my computer, my board just went down. We have a...
I'm not surprised. We're talking about some very concept-shattering things. Also, when we think about illness and AIDS, many of these illnesses are fabricated so that people, the human families, stay locked in a certain view. And when we understand that health, joy, abundance is about frequency and vibration, and it begins with our self-talk and how we treat each other, then we can see more clearly how the ignorance of vibration and patterning becomes like a cage.
Mm, it does, yes.
You know, Venerable Dahani, it's so difficult to respond to what you're saying because you are just a remarkably eloquent speaker, and everything you say is profound. Do you feel the energy of that, Patricia? It's just
overwhelming. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what just made my computer go dark. I was just pushing all these buttons,
yeah,
trying to make it come back so that I could see what's happening here on this board. And I know it had nothing to do with the fact that we have a thunderstorm. This has to do with the energy of Venerable Dahani, of what you're saying and how you're transmitting it tonight. It is a huge energy that you carry, and I've seen that, obviously, from many years ago. So it's great, you know, that you're able to come on the air tonight with us and share this information that is so important. Because I know, Helene, what you're saying is the way I experience Venerable Dahani, your transmission of this energy, it's on so many levels. You're not just talking to us. There
is
a whole...
I'm actually stunned speechless,
yeah,
which usually I'm not. I'm truly honored to be on the same phone line with you, Venerable Dahani.
We are communicating heart to heart, and the words, they convey certain messages, and then the overtones communicate with our natural awareness. And so the mind understands, the body understands, the earth element within us understands, all of our ancestors in this moment, when our hearts are open in clear communication, the wisdom that is within the field is apparent.
That's true, but it is really emanating from you. I think that every single sensitive person who's listening to this broadcast right now can feel you, Venerable Dahani.
Well, Venerable Dahani is a grandma, is an older woman, and is a tuning fork and a mirror for what is in each of us. So what people feel and experience is actually their wisdom nature.
It's truly profound and astounding. And I have to ask you this question. At what point in your life did you, I mean, I'm coming to understand that you had this in your life from the day you were born into this place, right? But when did you go full tilt? When did you realize, when did the universe say to you, this is your path, this is what you'll be doing for your life?
Oh,
how did that come to you?
I was maybe 3 months old, and an older cousin was leaning over me. I was a baby lying on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him. He was 7 years. He is 7 years older than me. And I said, oh, shucks, he's been here 7 years, and this is all that he knows?
And you know what? I believe that.
And I was disheartened. Oh, my gosh, this is going to be more challenging than I thought, getting control of this little body.
You wonder what you got yourself into when you arrived, huh?
Well, there were times when I thought maybe I should go back.
Yeah.
And then I understood the importance of family. And for me, the roots were having children.
Mm-hmm.
And this enabled me to be more present with the experience. We're all spiritual, energetic beings learning how to be human.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Well, there's a message that just came in, Venerable Dahani, from someone in the chat room who said, thank you for waking my heart, Venerable Dahani. That's a very nice message.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yes. And this is just amazing. I just have to take a break for 1 minute and just mention to also participate in this conversation tonight, which is so amazing. You can also tweet to @supernaturalgirls, but it's spelled GLZ. And you can also tweet with #SNGLive and continue to participate that way if you can't call in or you want to receive topical tweets that are being sent out during the show. That is one way to do it, so you don't miss anything. I mean, every moment here is exciting tonight and full of transformation and wisdom. So, again, thank you all for joining us. We're going to continue with this. And, Dahani, you talked about healing and illness. And is there a message you'd like to give everybody about that? Because there's so many people that are dealing with illness today, whether it's an autoimmune situation or cancer, or, I mean, there just seems to be an abundance of disease.
Yes, there certainly appears to be many people suffering. And I would like to share a family story, an actual experience. I was traveling in Europe, I think it was 92 or 91, in preparation for a later very big conference. And my daughter called me and asked me to please come home. And I came home and went immediately to the hospital where my grandson, her son, was gravely ill and had neuroblastoma, I think it's called, a tumor broken through his skull.
Ooh.
And there was a growth on his forehead. And the poor baby, he was acting like he was ashamed he became ill. Mm. And I dropped my bags and went to him, and this woman appeared. She was blonde and kind of plump, and she said, let's hold hands. And so the three of us held hands around him, and the tumor fell off his head.
Wow.
And he's still alive today, a very wise man. And after that, I went to look, where did it go? And she went to the door, and then I ran outside to look for her and to thank her. And there was no one in the hall, and I asked to nurses at the nurses' station. Where, who was she? What was her name? Where did she go? And I described her. And she was even wearing scrubs that had, like, children's fairy tales on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
And they said, no such person is here. No such person passed by. And I went back into the room, and my daughter and I just held each other, and my grandson went to sleep. And that was an experience of heavenly grace, divine intervention.
And they do. They do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there is illness in the world. The first step is to be thankful for what we have and consider those who have less or nothing, and in our minds see them receiving what they need. And the energy of forgiveness is important because the shame, pain, blame, resentment that one's mind stream may hold, like a stone, attracts more to it. And so forgiving is very important. And then we want to take care that we don't blame ourselves or the person who is ill for their illness, because there is an incredible interaction of thought streams. And so there is the family and the individual dynamic. So the first step is whatever dissonance one may have within the family, to forgive, make clear patterns of right relationship, and step forward into the relationship you wish for, the ideal.
Hmm.
And then consider, have I kept my vows? We've come here for certain reasons, and we may explore the mystery. It may appear through illness, and particularly autoimmune illnesses are an opportunity to settle into the heart's natural awareness to stop fighting one's true nature.
Mm.
And also we can harm the environment, and then the environment responds in a way that can be dissonant to one's health. So, like, to harm sacred places or even to dig in certain sacred places can have an impact on one's skin, lungs, and frontal lobe thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a call, a real inspiration, and when you have a gift, like someone may have the gift of music or healing or painting, and to not utilize that gift is also a cause of dissonance that can arise into illness. And
that's
then,
so interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then when you get a call, when the awakened nature, when the awakened potential within you calls you to act and you do not, that also causes dissonance that gives rise to illness. So many people are suffering these days through the dissonance of the environment. Our water is made impure, our air is made impure, and the very trees that breathe for the planet are cut down, and so it becomes more than an individual illness, it becomes a collective illness.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I had heard from the universe at one point, because I was struggling with the idea that we each bring the illness to ourselves energetically through all the ways that you mentioned and many more. And the universe said, no, your earth is toxic. Some of this is coming in collectively through toxicity in the ground, in everything you breathe, in the processed food you eat, in all these, you know, list of things. And so to escape that toxicity, I think, is very difficult in our society, especially in this country, when you live in urban areas. So what would be your best tips for trying to detoxify our bodies?
Well, certainly to in some way purify the drinking water, mm-hmm. to free it of heavy metals, mm-hmm. which include fluoride,
mm-hmm.
Which has now been proven to lower people's IQs, as recently noted through Harvard studies. And even what appears impure can be made pure again with our prayerful appreciation. And this has been wonderfully demonstrated through the experiments of Dr. Emoto and
yes.
others. Mm-hmm. And that is an even greater lesson, because it shows that what appears dissonant in our cultures can also resolve when we apply that energy of thankfulness.
And that makes such a big difference. I mean, that's such a powerful energy, that thankfulness, that gratitude.
Yes.
And Dahana, you mentioned Grandfather David. And I know we had Michael Bastine, the Algonquin elder, on the show back several months ago. And Michael, I'm sure you know, was a student of Mad Bear Anderson. And
oh,
I know
yeah.
you also knew Mad Bear quite well. What an amazing man he was.
Yes, he was. He was definitely outside the box.
Yeah. And you were able to travel with him to other countries, and with part of him being outside the box, because, yes, he really believed, as you have basically enacted, that this is a worldwide mission. And that was unusual, wasn't it? I mean, for him to take that kind of a position back then?
Yes, and he was severely castigated for it. He and Chief Beeman Logan, who I think was Oneida, they heard the call. They woke up. Many of the indigenous communities that were living undercover, mind you, it was better to be undercover than to be openly a Native American community or family group. And so they traveled to many places where in the past there had been large Native American communities, and by the past we're talking even 200 years before they went visiting. And they would meet with folks and ask them to tell stories. Tell me some of your family stories. And they awoke people to the memory of the wisdom that was hidden in their family's fireplaces.
Huh.
And they actually contributed to a renaissance for what we call ourselves the fifth generation after the teachings were hidden, although it may be even more than five generations. And they inspired many communities to bring out their prayers, their crafts, their ceremonies, and to remember their clan structure and clan law. So, yes, Mad Bear was extraordinary, and he was part of a group, and Thunder, mustn't forget, Thundercloud?
Oh, Rolling Thunder?
Rolling Thunder, thank you. Yeah, so the three of them, like three flames, reignited the heart of the young Indian communities.
That's quite an accomplishment.
Yes.
It really was, given everything that had happened to the Native communities and what they were able to do. And certainly the three of them were, just as you described that, you know, it's just I could see the flames. And I never got to meet Mad Bear in person. We talked on the phone. I did get to meet Rolling Thunder once, and he was, again, another extraordinary light on the planet. But how wonderful for you to know these people as, you know, as a part of your teachings and a part of your experience of life.
Yeah, they were, beacons on the road.
Yes, definitely beacons on the road. Well, now I have to ask you. Can't let this go by without asking you this question. We used to talk years ago about Bigfoot. And you know
what
where I'm
did
going.
I tell you?
I have to bring this up because we've had people on the show that we've actually played the sounds that they recorded of Bigfoot. And what I recall you sharing with us is that Bigfoot can sing more than one note at a time.
Oh, my gosh, what a power. Once on retreat in what was Buffalo Creek, Colorado, I was a guest at Dr. Mona Dayton's family's home, and they put up a large teepee, and their cabin was on the other side of a ravine. And I was singing the heart chant.
Love that.
And I heard a response, and I understood, this chest cavity is really large.
Oh, my gosh.
This is not an ordinary being. I said, okay, you can show your face. And his face filled this was a very large teepee, his face and upper shoulders filled the entryway of the teepee. And his hair was reddish brown, and his skin was a light copper color, and he made that sound. He made the heart song again, and it was an extraordinary situation. I understood that that fear is useless. Have no fear. There is some reason this being is here, and if your heart is really true and you believe that all beings are connected in the field of mind, then this is another expression of creation. So, he backed up and he made a motion. He wanted me to follow him. And I didn't put on my shoes. For some reason I walked barefoot, yet the bottom of my feet didn't hurt. Oh, gosh, I'm going to tell it all.
Oh, go for it.
And so we walked about, and he had made like a pillar. He piled stones up, and he put like a tree branch in those stones, a stone pillar, which was about my chest height. And he wanted me to see that he was trying to say he had spirituality. I felt him saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And that he revered life and that all beings are part of the tree of life. And then we walked back towards the teepee and then down into the ravine, and his wife was there.
No way.
And she wouldn't look me in the eye. She covered her face, and she was giving birth, and the child was in a breech position.
Oh, my goodness.
And all I could think was to chant and massage her belly.
Mm.
And ultimately the child turned around and she gave birth, yet he was limp.
Uh-oh.
And this is where it gets really strange. And so I was massaging him and I was going to take him back to the teepee. And then I think Bigfoot people are also somehow related to outer space beings,
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
interdimensional beings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And some are nice and some are not so nice. At any rate, then a flying saucer appeared. And we took the child into the flying saucer. And I don't know what they did with the child. The child went somewhere else, and I went into a room that was like a library, and there were beings from many different worlds there. Even a blue octopus-like person in his own tank.
Oh, my.
And the books, you touch them, and you were immersed in different times and different worlds. They were more than holographs because you could also smell the world,
oh.
the space, the time. And after a while, I thought it was like 6 months, I said, you know, I have children. I need to go home. And then as I was getting out of the sphere of light, and there was like a ladder I went down, I could hear all this commotion. Paul and Mona were very distraught.
Hmm.
Are you all right? Where did you go? What happened? And then her husband, he fainted. He just went to sleep. And they said I was only gone for 45 minutes, yet the experience seemed much longer than 45 minutes.
Well, time in the universe isn't the same everywhere, right? Our perception is very different than other dimensions.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And so I held that and told it to just a few people, and sort of like Grandma Honey's adventures.
Now, did the gentleman faint because he saw the ship or because he saw the Bigfoot?
I think both.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas his wife, who was actually Teacher of the Year twice in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
Her name is Dr. Mona Deaton. She, you know, held it together
mm-hmm.
and explained to me, well, you were gone 45 minutes. Are you all right? And we let him just sleep there. After some time, he awoke, and, of course, all these strange beings were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about Spielberg, and did he have the Wookiees in his movies?
He did, yes. It was George Lucas, actually, that had the Wookiees.
Oh, okay.
But they're good friends.
Yeah,
George
so
Steven.
I suppose the Wookiee is Hollywood's way of describing these interdimensional beings. And, you know, they make sound and they break branches, and they also seem to shift aside into another realm. And I've learned that there are different kinds. In Vancouver, on Vancouver Island, there's someone who's like the king of North American Bigfoot, who is like 18 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness.
But they're clearly, you know, when I've tried to pick up on the energy of them, they seem to be clearly not just physical, but also energetic beings. So they're not always visible to us. Is that correct?
Yes, and it then gives the thought, well, human beings are also energetic beings. How do you explain the way a mother knows her children need her?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but what I mean by that is that they can actually make themselves become invisible or travel into another dimension or go through the veil very easily.
It appears that way.
Mm-hmm.
That is a wonderful story, oh, Venerable Tahani.
Incredible.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
gives
it's
the chills,
wonderful
doesn't
to
it?
Hear this. It really is. Because Helene and I do some work every week, and we are always working with interdimensionals on this particular night of the week that we do this work. And it's, I think, Helene, for us, it's really, pushed those boundaries just that much further out. We have so many wonderful experiences with these interdimensionals. And, Tahani, you've had physical experiences with these interdimensionals like Bigfoot. And, I just see that as so important to our healing on this planet, that we're not the only ones here, and we need to be respectful of life that even goes beyond what we think we know about life.
And I've read some articles about multiple universes and how the physics of different universes are very different for each of those universes. And I certainly have seen articles about that are fear-based and also or perhaps cautionary about what we invite and open ourselves to communicate with. Because some of dimensions, the physics of those realms may be inimical to the well-being of the space-time or our universe.
Mm-hmm.
So then that brings me back to resting in the heart, that to step out, to go looking for, is interesting, and the real answers and the communication with all universes is directly within our hearts. So it's no longer like, oh, wow, magic mystery tour.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all this is happening. And Sam and Sara's Bar and Grill.
Mm-hmm.
It is so, it's so funny when you're saying this. I'm thinking back, you know, Helene and I have had the occasion to meet an interdimensional, calls himself the Commander. He's a wonderful being. And he has a particular marking on his head, which looks kind of like a phoenix. But the reason I'm telling the story to you and to the audience is because I had to have an echocardiogram several months ago. And I wanted to see what was on the screen, and I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing that in my heart, on the ultrasound, what I'm seeing is the same symbol that I saw on the commander's forehead. So when you talk about how we are all experiencing this, how this is all coming from the heart, I mean, I just immediately remembered that symbol on his head, and then when I saw this on the ultrasound. So there's so much more to this that I really don't understand it.
Yes. As there are grains of sand, there are realms and worlds, and even in this world we know so well, there are microscopic worlds that, like the foam in overturned beer, are worlds arising and dissolving in a flash.
Mm-hmm. It's so profound that it's hard to wrap your mind around the whole
that's right.
picture.
And it's so humbling. It really makes you think about, you know, where we are in the scope of all this, and mm-hmm. especially when we focus so much energy on our problems or these things we think are problems. That's why I love to have these kinds of conversations, because it expands the mind. It takes us out of the focus on things that are minuscule and brings us back to the reality of wholeness and how many other beings, and like you said, Venerable Tahani, how many worlds there are.
Well, what I found fascinating really was your comment about the Wookiee. Because so many times over the years, I've looked at my husband and said, they're talking to someone. I know they're talking to someone. They didn't come up with this by themselves.
Uh-huh.
And I think there are many more people who are communicating, even if they're receiving downloads from somewhere and they think it's their imagination. I think there are many more people communicating than is really realized. Did I say that the right way?
There are.
Yeah.
The information is in the field.
Yes.
And we read it within our hearts. And those moments when we sit quietly, we understand. And when you think about the message of the world's great teachers, the message is to explore the heart.
Now, quieting the mind, listening to the heart, difficult for people in this country. Some people say a walking meditation is helpful. Is there anything else that you can suggest so that people can be more comfortable with the concept of just quieting the mind?
Considering that the very air that we breathe in may have been exhaled by awakened beings in what we call the past, and that the argon, which doesn't change in the atmosphere, may have been exhaled by Jesus, by Moses, Muhammad, Holy Mother in all her forms, Buddha, that this gift of the tree and the sea is a reminder that we are part of a continuum, and the ideal of expressing awakened activity, loving, compassionate skill, we all have access to it.
That is a big help. Keeping that thought in your mind and the image of that, breathing the same air, I love that. Very helpful.
It's really stunning. I will have to tomorrow listen to this broadcast again, Patricia. I will. Yeah.
Well, I am, again, so grateful, Venerable Dahani, that you have come to the show this evening and helped to awaken so many people in our audience. And I also want to share again for everybody who would like to study with you or come to one of your sessions that they can go to sunray.org. That's sunray.org. And you are offering a summer seminar intensive, which is called Activating Your Luminous State, Riding Quantum Waves of Information. That sounds wonderful. So people can sign up. They can participate in person. And if they can't participate in person, you are also offering a video live stream.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It is, and you have a 3-day or a 7-day option. So I encourage all of you listening to please go to Venerable Dahani's site, sunray.org. Take a look at this. I guarantee you will be transformed by just attending this wonderful seminar with Venerable Dahani Oahu, and you will be a different person on the other side of it, that's for sure.
I also would like to share that there are teachings, Mahayana Buddhist teachings through Vajra Dakini Nunnery, and practical application of spiritual insight through beautywayproductions.com. So vajradakini.org and beautywayproductions.com.
Are those links on your website?
I think so, maybe.
They should be. And again, if anybody has any questions, they can go to sunray.org, and there's also a phone number there for the office that people can call, you know, if the information, they need to go a little further with the information. But we highly recommend this summer intensive, Activating Your Luminous State, Riding Quantum Waves of Information. And it's wonderful because you can go there in person and experience the beautiful land up in Vermont, or you can do this via video live stream. So lots of choices here on how to experience this workshop.
Well, thank you. Better to email, because it's a volunteer organization. We don't always have someone on the phone.
Okay, and the email is info@sunray.org. Again, that's info@sunray.org.
Or info@beautywayproductions.com.
Oh, good. So we have that option, too. info@beautywayproductions.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so please visit the three sites. Vajra Dakini Nunnery is the first American Drikun Kagyu monastic community, which was founded by me through the blessings of His Holiness Cheksang Rinpoche, and sunray.org. It is the pathway for the Native American teachings and the gateway to share peacemaking skills. And Beauty Way Productions is about practical application of spiritual insight.
Well, thank you so much, Venerable Dahani. This has been an honor having you on our
show. We are so honored.
It's certainly been fun, and you ladies got me to tell stories I only tell my grandkids.
Well, that's what we're here for, and we're so glad you had fun tonight, and you shared so many wonderful, wonderful messages that really reached so many people. I could feel it on so many levels. We are grateful.
Oh, and it is good. Thank you for inviting me, and may all benefit from this grandmother's chat.
Thank you, Venerable Dahani. You're welcome.
Thank you, Venerable Dahani.
It has been a pleasure. We're going to have you back, and I know you're busy, but we're going to have you back again, because I can see the emails coming in now saying, please bring Venerable Dahani back to us. So we'll be back in touch for sure. And please, again, everybody go to sunray.org. And you can email at info@sunray.org and info@beautywayproductions.com. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Many blessings.
Wado, thank you.
Well, Helene, this has been a remarkable, remarkable show.
I'm still speechless.
I know.
She's
now,
just like a giant, one of those giant radar dishes. I don't know. It's just,
I know it.
Ooh,
I mean,
coming
in
waves. I mean, just
yes.
Her soft-spoken, eloquent speech just carried energy. It was just amazing.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And I couldn't even play commercials. It's like, I'm sorry, I just can't play commercials tonight. It's like sacrilege, you know, so.
Yeah.
Go with the flow of this powerful energy that Venerable Dahani carries. And, you can imagine what it was like for me being a neophyte so many years ago, sitting in Dahani's presence and learning.
You must have been mesmerized. I mean, I don't know.
I was. I mean, it was just a remarkable experience, very transformative. That's why I feel comfortable recommending the seminars that she still gives up there at Sunray. They are transformative. And
what part of Vermont are they located in, do you know?
I don't have the exact time. I know it was way up there because I remember driving there, and it took forever.
Okay, yeah, it's pretty fun.
No, it's up in northern Vermont, and yes, she has a beautiful place there. And I'm getting a lot of messages now from the chat room, all the people that would like to go and learn from her. And I'll tell you what, it'll be an event of a lifetime. I've never forgotten, you know, her wonderful teachings and all of the wisdom that she attempted to impart to us over the years. And there were years, you know, friends of mine introduced me to her, and we would bring her to Connecticut to each of our homes to conduct workshops then. And we all kept transforming, you know, in the presence of such a great teacher. How could you not? So
talk about living your purpose.
Oh, yes.
She was actually sent here for this. Amazing.
Yes. So this has been quite an honor. And tomorrow night we will meet you all again on the air at 7:30. For the link, go to supernaturalgirlswithaz.com, and you will be able to click on that link and be a part of our Universal Energy Prayer Circle. We're trying to come up with the right name for it, aren't we, Helene? Because Prayer Circle doesn't quite describe what we're doing, but
not quite.
It's
a very powerful energetic transmission that's coming from many realms, but primarily it seems like the angelic realm sponsors it. We'll put it that way. So,
yes, I love that. The angelic realm, sponsored by the angelic realm.
Feels that way, doesn't it? They sort of march in first, make the opening, and then, you know.
I love that. Yes, that's exactly what happens. So, guys and girls out there, you do not want to miss this, and you will benefit. That is, there's no question about that. And we love to have many people come and join us. We love to also hear feedback from everybody about the show tonight and about the prayer circle that we're going to have tomorrow. So I'm going to be up tonight thinking about this conversation we had. It was absolutely incredible.
It really was, Patricia. I'm still stunned. I am. I'm stunned.
I can hear it in your voice. I can hear it. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening. And we'll be back tomorrow night with the prayers. So please tune in again. And good night, Helene.
Good night, Patricia. Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for another radio adventure with Supernatural Girl.